wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jenilee.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, you know, I don't usually talk about personal matters here on Abandoned Manitoba, but I'm going to make an exception this week because the subject does relate to Manitoba's history. It's a story that I'm a little embarrassed to tell, but which had a happy ending about 4 weeks ago.
What's the story?
It might not come as a surprise to our listeners that an interest in Manitoba history runs deep in my family. Both of my parents, but especially my dad, were keen amateur historians. Dad was involved in many community history projects, especially after he retired. He lived in a little community called Ferndale, about which he compiled information for the local history book published in 1989.
Where exactly is Ferndale?
It's a short distance southwest of Winnipeg. The only buildings at Ferndale today are several private homes. But in its heyday, Ferndale was a going concern. It had a church and it had a school. That was it. And it went back to the 1880s. These two buildings, the school and the church, were the center of the Ferndale community and were used for all sorts of public activities.
What happened to the Ferndale Church and school?
Well, neither one of them is still there. Ferndale School closed in 1960, along with a whole lot of other one-room schools around Manitoba. Kids were then bused to larger schools, in this case in Starbuck or in Sanford. But the vacant building remained at the site for nearly 50 years. I mean, I remember being in it in the 1970s. Jump forward to 2009, and it had grown quite decrepit, so the old school was burned as a training exercise for local firefighters.
And what about the church?
People in the area held church services in the school since the 1880s, but in 1902, I guess they decided they needed their own building, so they built a church next to the school and then built another new building in 1949. It was used for Sunday morning services until, after years of declining attendance, it closed in 1991. Again, jump forward to 2009, a few months before the school building was burned, the church building was sold and moved to a nearby property where it was repurposed as a workshop. The former site of the school and the church became the property of a local resident. My dad, who had attended Ferndale School and was a member of Ferndale United Church, wanted to preserve their memory. So in 2011, he began raising money for a monument. Unfortunately, Dad passed away less than a year after the project started, before any work had been done.
So I guess the job of constructing the monument then fell to you?
Yeah. It was logical, I guess, given my interest in Manitoba history, that I would complete Dad's project. I didn't know how he had intended the monument to look, but during my travels around the province to map historic sites, I had seen literally hundreds of monuments. Some of them were in good repair, and others were quite badly degraded. So I had some definite thoughts on how this monument should be constructed.
Such as?
Well, I wanted something that would last a long time. You know, I immediately dismissed having a monument made of things like wood or concrete because, well, my experience has been that those things just don't last more than a few decades before they start to break down. I also ruled out bricks or stones because I found that numerous monuments, well, the mortar that holds those bricks or stones together had degraded, and even though the bricks and the stones themselves stayed intact, the monument was literally falling apart. It seemed to me that the best material for a long-lasting monument would be a granite boulder, and it would have some sort of commemorative information on the side of it.
Did you plan to install a plaque on the side of the boulder?
No. And, you know, I've seen lots of stones around Manitoba that have a plaque fastened, but many of those plaques are attached with bolts that are easily removed. And therefore, the plaque, in theory, could come away from the stone. And unfortunately, especially if that plaque is made out of metal, well, the experience here in Winnipeg and elsewhere has been that many plaques get stolen and they get melted down for money. And I didn't want that to happen to the Ferndale Monument. So I planned instead to etch the words right into the stone itself. And as a result, there'd be literally no financial value in stealing such a monument. Unfortunately, our first efforts to etch words into a stone failed miserably.
Why is that?
Well, we had found a big stone in a farm field belonging to one of my cousins, and he transported that stone to a facility in Carmen. They were going to do the etching. In order to have a flat surface for the etched text, they planned to slice off a piece of the face of the stone. In other words, the face of the stone was kind of curved, and they wanted to make it flat. But they found when they started doing that, there were imperfections throughout the stone that caused it to fracture. And I worried that these fractures would pose areas of weakness, and this would in turn shorten the monument's life. So finally, in the end, we opted to buy a commercially cut stone, and that was a fairly substantial, unanticipated cost.
Okay, so that problem was solved. What next?
Well, we had to select a site for the stone at Ferndale. The landowner did not want the monument on their property because I think they quite rightly worried that it might constrain a future landowner's plans for the land. We agreed it would be preferable to put the stone on the road allowance next to the property. We did check with the municipality, and they had no objections so long as the monument was far enough from the roadway that it wouldn't interfere with road or ditch maintenance.
Were there any other problems?
Well, unfortunately, yeah. We wanted to make sure that the text on the stone was correct because, well, obviously there wouldn't be an easy way to fix an error such as an incorrect date. Obtaining information on the years that the Ferndale School had operated was pretty easy. I did some research at the provincial archives, and we were able to get that information pretty easy. But it was harder to confirm information about the Ferndale United Church. We finally confirmed its dates with the United Church of Canada archives. The etching, well, it was completed over a year ago, and the finished stone has been sitting in Carmen waiting for me to pick it up.
Was that a problem?
Well, as you might expect, a large boulder is exceptionally heavy, and I just couldn't bring it in my little car. I simply didn't have a vehicle capable of transporting it to Ferndale. Fortunately, my brother, who lives far away, came for a visit in his pickup truck. We went to Carmen. The company that did the etching helped us to load the stone into his truck, and we were fortunate that one of my brother's friends, who lives near Ferndale, owns a hydraulic lift. We were able to use that lift to move the monument from the back of my brother's truck and position it on a stone pad that we had laid on a bed of gravel at the site. Once we'd done that, then we also moved a QR-coded sign. You know, one of the ones that I described here on Abandoned Manitoba 2 weeks ago, next to the new stone monument. So the site now has the monument, and I'm pretty confident that it's going to be for many years standing there, along with QR codes next to it that take visitors to web pages where you can find things like photos of the former Ferndale School, the former Ferndale United Church, and as well as the names of teachers and clerics who served at those places through the years.
Gordon, what lessons did you learn from this experience?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that it took 12 years to get this monument finished. And as my relatives and Ferndale residents would tell you, you know, they would say periodically, "So, when's the monument going to get done?" And I'd always respond that, well, the demands of my busy schedule are getting in the way. You know, so I'm very glad that it is now nearly done. The only thing we have left to do is that next spring, we intend to have a community unveiling and a picnic so everybody can get together and reminisce about times in the school and the church. My main lesson is to not make people wait so long for me to complete a project for them. Some advice that I would offer anyone else who is planning a monument is to give some thought to making your monument both low maintenance and resistant to the elements and vandals. You know, I'm confident that the Ferndale Monument will stand the test of time. And I guess I also hope that it's something that would have made my late father proud.
Gordon, thanks for sharing this personal story. What's up for next week?
Recently, the city of Winnipeg marked its 150th anniversary of incorporation. Presently, the city contains over 300 buildings built between 1874 and 1967 that have been designated by the city council as historically significant. The Manitoba Historical Society was asked recently to provide suggestions on other buildings that could be added to the city's list of designations. So next week, I will tell our listeners about the 10 historic structures that we recommended to the city of Winnipeg.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.